Oh, that was loud. Wow. Well, now that you're awake, I encourage you to take out your Bibles and follow along as we continue in our series on hope in just a moment. This afternoon, we're going to, Lord willing, continue the series on traits that matter, which is an examination of Old Testament individuals that were pleasing to God and examine what made them so pleasing to God. And last time we talked about Moses, and I challenged you to see if you could figure out what was the trait that mattered for Moses. And I actually enjoyed that exercise. I enjoyed hearing the things that you said. So I'm giving you a preview again this morning. And this afternoon it's going to be Joshua. And everybody immediately says, I know this one, and you're right, but wrong. Yes, it's not courage. Courage should be what we would say with Joshua. We're going to save that for someone else. So if you weren't going to summarize Joshua by courage, how would you summarize him? I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. But it is the first Sunday of the last month of this year. And it's kind of hard to think of that. 2015 has come, and as far as this series has gone, it's gone. We bring this series on the subject of hope to an end. Last year, when the elders were contemplating what the theme would be, there were several ideas that were being considered, and none of them were really sticking out. And then circumstances started to occur in which it became clear that this was going to be a challenging year. And when the thought of a theme about hope was submitted, the idea of being anxiously looking forward to something, expecting good things, when that was brought forth, the elders were eager to go with that. It just resonated. And I don't know that at that time we really understood what kind of year we were going to have, both the good and the bad. In this past year, I remember so many times preaching sermons on hope, and I would look out and I'd see Harold in our audience. And he was so near to seeing his hope fulfilled. And in this past year, we saw the passing of Harold. We knew that it was going to be a difficult year for Kaylee and for the Chavez family. What we didn't know at the time was that we were going to have to suffer in their absence, as they were no longer with us and over in Tennessee. And we had many other great families that in this past year moved away. And then our struggles became even larger. More than just the internal things that we were facing on the grand scale in our society, great challenges came about. Our government decided that it would redefine marriage and force that redefinition upon all the states. And those who know no holiness defiled what is holy. And that was difficult. And it hurt. And through that, we needed hope. And then very recently, in our own city, violence has erupted. And in the most recent case of the violence in Colorado Springs, the people have turned their attention towards you and me and said, we are to blame. And in the face of such things, we need hope. And then, even more recently than that, there was the terrorist attack in California, in which it has become quite clear that we are not immune to their attacks once more, and that there are people who are out there who desire to hurt us and who desire to scare us. And there's once again the reminder that we need hope. And as I look back upon this year, I'm reminded that this has been a very important theme, but we could review what we've talked about with hope, but that is not my desire this morning. Rather, my desire this morning is to look forward and say what we still need and what we will always need is hope. I do not believe there's anybody right now who looks at America and says, this is the time of peace, comfort, and prosperity in this country. Rather, we see turmoil, division, hatred, and fear. This is the time we need hope. And the truth of the matter is, as Christians, we always need hope. It is foundational to who we are. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, when it defines faith, faith is the most important thing. If you want to talk about what we need to have to please God, it is faith. And faith is defined as the substance of things hoped for. That means as Christians, what we have is faith. And what that faith does is it lifts up our hope. Without hope, are we really Christians? It is a crucial part of who we are. And so I want to talk about hope until that day. And that day is a reference in which your hope will dissolve. The day your hope disappears. And that is not a bad day, but a great one. What was read in Romans chapter 8, in verse 18 through 25, did you notice how frequently it talks about this eagerness, this anxiously waiting? Well, those are descriptions of hope, of this confident expectation and anticipation of something wonderful in the future. And so he starts off in verse 18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it." And so here we wait eagerly for this salvation, this adoption as children, this reception of the resurrection body, this time in heaven with God. We wait eagerly for that. But one day, we will wait no more, and our hope will be gone. Because hope that is seen is not hope at all. One day, our hope will be realized. But until that day, we must be a people of hope. In Hebrews chapter 3, the people that the Hebrew writer is speaking to, they want to quit. They want to give up. Not necessarily on God, but on God's path. They were giving up on Christianity. They were going back to the old law. And he tells them, no, what we have in this new covenant, what we have in Jesus, he describes it as a better hope. And in regards to this hope, he says in Hebrews 3 and verse 6, "Christ was a faithful son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope, firm until the end." Until the day that our hope is realized, we must hold on to our hope. In chapter 6 and verse 11, he talks about the fact that they had suffered for this faith. They had suffered the seizure of property. They had suffered imprisonment. And he warns them, as in this book, you're going to suffer more. But what he says then in verse 11, he says, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end." Until that day when hope is no longer needed, until that day that hope no longer exists, we must hope. And it's not supposed to be a hope that one day is really strong and the next day it isn't. One day we're going along and things are going well in our lives and we're just really happy and looking forward to everything. And then the next day we watch the news and now we're devastated and we're terrified of what's to come. That's not supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be a hope that is firm and steady, that is unwavering. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, to these new Christians who had only been Christians for a few months, and already in that time they are being persecuted for their faith, he commends them for their work of faith, their labor of love, and their steadfastness of hope. Though people hurt them and pursued them and did all they could to thwart them, their hope did not waver. And that is commendable. A hope that remains in the face of all things. And throughout 1 Timothy and a little bit in 1 Peter as well, there's this term that is used in regards to our hope. Our hope does not go from one thing to another, but it is firmly fixed. It remains solid. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, he says, "For it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers." This is written by Paul. If you're in the Wednesday evening adult Bible class, you get to look at what Paul was doing in the book of Acts, and you wonder, well, why does he keep teaching? Why does he labor? Why does he strive? And he answers it here. He says, because of the hope we have fixed on God. You can't shake it. You can't move it. The things that were happening to them had no impact on it. They maintained their hope. In chapter 6 and verse 17, he tells that to the rich people. He says, "Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God." Their hope is to be fixed, firm, and standing with God. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, this is a letter written to Christians that were going through challenges and would be going through more challenges, and he's trying to prepare them for that, and he says, get your mindset in the right place, get your hope in the right place. So he says in verse 13, "Therefore prepare your minds for action, keep sober in spirit, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." The things you see on the news do not impact that. When your hope is firmly placed on Jesus, the things that go on around you do not impact that. And so we find that our hope is supposed to be unwavering. All of these things are the same concepts. In Romans chapter 4, it's about Paul, it's about Abraham in the Old Testament, when God tells him, you're going to have a son. And that seemed impossible. It seemed impossible. He was too old. And so it says in verse 18, "In hope against hope he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be." Down in verse 20, "Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God." His hope, his faith, did not waver. Despite the things he saw going on around him, despite the things he felt within him, it did not waver. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." And so our hope is not supposed to be influenced by the challenges you face. It's not supposed to be influenced by the people who are trying to do things to us. It's supposed to be firmly established with a God who does not change, with a God who is eternal, and a God who is faithful. I skipped, when I was going through the list, I skipped 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 5. It's again about this idea of our hope being fixed on God, but it's specifically speaking to widows. It says, "Now she who is a widow indeed and who has been left alone has fixed her hope on God and continues in entreaties and prayers night and day." I want you to consider the circumstance of this woman. This woman who still has hope, this woman whose hope is fixed on God, has lost everything. She's described as a widow indeed. And what that means is, first of all, we understand the widow concept very easily. She lost the man she loved. She lost the man she relied on. In this society, it was the men who provided support. The women had very little hope for support. A widow was merely a target. a victim waiting to happen. She lost her support, her protection. She lost her husband. But she's not a widow. She's a widow indeed. And that goes back up to what was stated in verse 3 and 4. And it says, honor the widows who are widows indeed. But then he says, here's the people who aren't widows indeed. And he says, if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents. For this is acceptable in the sight of God. And so we find that a widow who has family is not a widow indeed. A widow indeed is somebody who's lost their family too. And I say lost because in 1 Timothy chapter 5, down in verse 9 and 10, when he starts saying, here's the definition of a widow indeed, somebody that you're supposed to put on this list and support, it includes having had children. She's lost her husband. She's lost all of her children. Yet she hopes. Hope is not supposed to be dependent on the things going on around us. Hope does not get discouraged and emotionally destroyed because of the pain that we see around us, because the world crumbles around us, because the world gets violent around us. It fixes itself on God. And so it is an unwavering hope. So we should hope in the darkness, for our God is light. We should hope in the face of death, for Jesus is life. We should hope in the face of war, for God is the God of peace. We should hope in the face of pain, for God is the God of all comfort. We should hope in the face of tribulation, for Jesus is victorious over all the world. Let the world mock. Let them doubt. Let the enemies arise. Let them be near to us. Now let us face them daily, but let us never lose our hope until the day that we no longer need it. Until that day, that hope is fulfilled, is realized. Until that day, let our hope be evident. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, we're reminded that the people of the world are supposed to ask us about this strange thing in us, this oddity, this fact that in all this darkness there is light, in all of this suffering there is joy. Well, our hope is not supposed to be something internal that the world cannot see, but something external that all can see. And so he says, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. So let us be a people that speak as those who have hope. As the world talks about demise, let us speak of a great reward, a great home, a great promise. Let us be a people that live with that hope. That when they look at our lives, they see a people that are filled with hope, not fear, not terror, not worried about who might come hurt us next. What might they do to us? But a people excited about what comes next. However we get there, whenever we get there, excited about what comes next. Until that day, let us be a people of hope that remember there's a reason for our hope. In Proverbs chapter 23, verses 17 through 18, it says, do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. You know, there are a lot of people in the world that have positive attitudes. There are a lot of people in the world that think positively about the future, that have empty hope. We're not talking about just some emotion. We're talking about hope being a real substance. About not just, I wish that things would get better, but being confident things will get better because they will. Remember that we do not just have a hope because we said, well, let's have hope. We have a hope for a reason. And that reason is summarized in a very simple way in the scriptures. And we'll just put it in one word, one name. Our hope is Jesus. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us that we have a reason for our hope, but if we look at 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 21, we find out that Jesus lives so that we would have hope. It says, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. As long as Jesus lives, we are supposed to have hope. Because death could not conquer him. The world cannot conquer him. He is victorious. As long as Jesus is, we should have hope. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1. As Paul begins this letter, he says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, according to the commandment of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus, who is our hope. As long as Jesus is, we should have hope. And ultimately, in Colossians 1 and verse 27, it is based on the relationship we have with him. To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. As long as Jesus lives, we should be filled with hope. Death could not hold him. Death cannot reach him. The world cannot touch him. They cannot touch our hope. Our hope should remain for good cause. One day hope will be gone. One day faith will be sight. One day, dreams will be reality. One day, what we want will be what we have. One day, there will be no more need for hope. But until that day, let us not merely be a people of hope. Let us be a people who abound in it. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us not be a people of a little hope, but a people who are overflowing with it. May this past year have only been a study and a practice of what we will apply for the rest of our lives. Whatever this world may endure, let us only look at the great rewards that God has promised afterwards. The great life that is ours. And we will only find that if we have that relationship with Jesus. And if you're not a Christian, we give you an opportunity to start that relationship with him. To become a Christian. And to be a person who is impervious to the things of the world. To the pain and suffering that you see around us. A person who can have hope in the midst of utter sorrow. If you desire that, here's your opportunity. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Are you willing to repent of your sins and confess that faith in him? Well, then do not wait. Do not delay any longer. Follow the path that God has laid out for us within Scriptures. Be baptized into him for the forgiveness of your sins. You will arise from that water a new creature. Your sins washed away. And hope will be yours. And if you are a Christian and you have fallen away, we must stand firm until the end. Please come back. We beg you, we encourage you, we invite you. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?
Are you?